What is up, everybody? I'm George Massey. It's the George Massey Show. I'm really excited. It's the interview series. So you guys know I took a break from doing interviews, but I'm back. And guess who we have? We have Cara Leona. You know her from 90 Day Fiancé. You know her as a reality star. And you also know her, if you don't, you will after today, as a very talented singer and songwriter. And we're going to be diving into that, but we're going to dive into everything, right? So Cara, thank you so much for joining me. I'm so excited to have you. I just can't wait to pick your brain.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I feel like this has been a long time coming. I've been watching your show and all the stuff that you do online for so long. So I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I have my podcast just turned 4 years old, which I think is crazy, right? I've been doing 90 Day Fiancé for 4 years. It's really funny because my dad, this was a year and a half before 90 Day Fiancé premiered. He married a woman from the Philippines, and he brought her over on a K-1 visa. And this was like unheard of, like no one had ever heard of it yet. So when the show premiered, I was just obsessed because it was like something that my family went through personally, like literally. So when the show came out, I was like,
that's where the real like amazement with the show comes from, and like the obsession. I think it either comes from the fact that people have personally gone through a situation, whether it's their own relationship or someone in their orbit has gone through the K-1 visa process, and it's like fun to watch it, and so you're like not the only one, or it's like completely foreign to you and you're like, what is this? And it's like, you know, jaw-dropping to watch. It's one camp or the other.
Yeah, I was just so amazed because it was, I think it also helped too that I found out that other people were going through it too, because it was hard on my family. You know, everybody, a lot of people didn't understand it. A lot of people had, you know, like on the show, preconceived notions of what this lady was about. Yeah, when I saw it premiere, I was like, oh my God, I really, really have to get into it. And oh my gosh, here we are, 10 seasons in, a million spinoffs, and I've watched every single one. So I kind of wanted to ask you, what's been going on since we saw you last? Because we regularly see you and Guillermo on Pillow Talk, but like, I want to know like what's going on behind the scenes, because you know, there's things that we see on social media that you want us to see, but then also we know there's a lot of things going on that are private. So is there anything that you're allowed to talk about that you have in the works?
Honestly, we just have really had our heads down because, you know, TV is all fun and it's really exciting and it's kind of glam and it's all the cameras and stuff, but like, we still are very much like, we got to make ends meet and we got to work and we got to hold down jobs and we got to do things. So it's a lot of work and like strategizing, organizing. I hate to sell like ho-hum, but it's like, you know, we still got to do all the things. And, you know, we have a small baby now who is 19 months old this month and just wild. And I'm his main care provider. So everything I do is in addition to being a full-time stay-at-home mom, which is a full job in its own. So we're like really just trying to take on parenthood and like try to give ourselves grace as well as holding down, you know, multiple jobs and different business ventures and all kinds of stuff. So we're really just trying to remain focused and just keep chipping away at the goals, you know?
Well, one thing that we've noticed from watching you on the show is you're very crafty and creative. And, you know, we've seen different businesses, different ventures. We've seen you in real estate. We've seen you with the balloon business. Like, you're always thinking of new and creative ways to make money, you know? And I think that that's how you really have to be in this day and age. You have to use technology. You have to think outside the box. Going and applying for a regular job is not going to get your bills paid nowadays, right? You have to have multiple income streams.
Yeah, we're in a weird and interesting, you know, economic time where it's not just like good enough almost anymore to have just the one job, and you feel more secure knowing that you have multiple income streams. I think the balloon thing is so funny from television because people railed me over doing balloons. They're like, what is she, a clown? You know? And I was like, you know, this is a really big business actually, doing these decorative balloon things. I don't know if you're a parent out there and you've ever had to get one for like your kid's birthday or your own birthday or any celebration. They're not cheap and they require a lot of skill. Like, I don't know, some people try to order them from Amazon and put them together themselves. They're like, oh my God, how could you do that? Like, it's really stressful, which is ultimately why I stopped doing it. It kind of came about more so as a COVID pastime, you know, when everybody was like baking sourdough and like painting portraits or whatever they were doing. I was like, oh, let me just have this low cost medium of like a balloon and learn how to shape them and form them. But it's so funny just how it came about on television, because it very much gave like spastic clown energy, you know?
Well, one thing about TV, no matter what you do, it's wrong, right? Like, you had a job, you were making money, so they made fun of it. There's people who go on the show who don't even have one, right? They're literally,
and they make fun of that.
And they make fun, right? So it's like, no matter what you do, they're gonna find something wrong with it. But one of your income streams is Pillow Talk, which is one of my favorite shows, because I love to watch the show and I love the commentary. Obviously, I have a podcast. So what is that like? Because one of your income streams is working with your husband. Is it like a dream job because you get to do something fun together and make money? Or is it like, how would you describe that?
Honestly, Pillow Talk is so much fun just because it's like so very lighthearted, and we get to really just be ourselves and kind of get to watch the show with the viewers, like how I discovered the show in the first place was just like on my mom's couch, like watching the show and laughing with her. And I think it works out so well with Pillow Talk because that's what everyone's doing at home with their loved ones on a Sunday or Monday or whenever you're watching, and they're sitting around laughing and chit-chatting. And so to have that reflected by people who have been on the parent show is really fun, and I think that's why it's so successful and like lighthearted. And although everyone, you know, obviously loves the parent show, we love the drama, we love like the sass and the tumultuous situations, I think it's just so fun to watch old couples that people have had such a good like rapport or like have this feeling about, to see them in, you know, real life and just being themselves and laughing and joking. And I think it's really like wholesome. To work with Guillermo is really fun, you know. It's almost like a dream in the sense, like you get to sit and have some snacks and wear pajamas and watch TV. I mean, if we could all get paid to do that, we'd all be financially in a very different place.
Yeah, I see that. So who's funnier? You know, who's the jokester in the relationship? Is it you? Is it Guillermo? Is it both of you? Because I know humor is very important in a relationship. So who do you think is the one that makes the other laugh the most?
Yeah, so I'd say we're both kind of, we have a lot of humor, both of us, in different ways. Guillermo's humor is more like slapsticky, like goofy, kind of just like lighthearted, like wholesome fun. And then mine is much more like cynical, dark humor, like inappropriate. Like I'm the one that's gonna be like inappropriate, you know? And I think that's funny. And I, you know, that maybe comes from working for a while as a young person in like kitchens. You know, I worked with a lot of like men chefs in kitchens, and there were the things that fly around in a kitchen as like humor are really crazy. So I think that's probably where a lot of that came from. And so yeah, I think the balance of our two humors, we laugh a lot, and I think it's, you know, the two complement each other well. Working with Guillermo, I think also his humor, a lot of like the laughs that come from Pillow Talk, I think come from like cultural and language differences, like where I'll say something, mm-hmm. he doesn't quite understand it, and we have to like he thinks it's something else, and it's actually just funny because he just misinterpreted it, you know. It's a whole lot of things
in our language. I have learned this with friends who don't speak English as their first language. We say a lot of things that make zero sense unless, yeah. Right, like unless you were born and spoke English as your native language. Like a lot of our sayings, two birds with one stone, like we say weird things. So when you think of someone coming over to a different country and learning the language, those type of sayings, they don't make any sense. You can speak English perfectly well, you can understand it perfectly well, but you're like, what are you saying? What does that even mean? So I totally get that. So I want to talk about music, because yes. The one thing that caught me off guard about you, because let's be real, a lot of people in the 90 Day Universe are artists or musicians or rappers, and we listen to their music and we're like, oh, okay. But I listened to you sing and you are really, really talented. And I think that really stood out to me, because, you know, a lot of people, they throw that musician word around. They put out music every now and then, and it's you know, sometimes they go on the show to promote the music they have. You didn't do that. You have all this talent. You're an amazing singer. You're an amazing songwriter. And on the show, it was such a tiny, minuscule time that you discussed music. And I was just like, what's up with that? Why wouldn't you want the world to know about your talent?
Well, you know, I think when I look in retrospect of, you know, all the lead up to making the show, and then how it was all presented and all the, you know, aftermath, quote unquote, how it was perceived. I think, you know, I talked about everything that I do. And so, you know, television is this weird thing where you do a lot of talking and explaining yourself and all the facets of your life and who you are and the depths. And then, you know, it's very small portions that people actually get to see.
Yeah.
And so I think particularly on my season, you know, there was already a couple that had a singer rapper, and that was his storyline, and that was Jabri. And then, you know, I told them also, like, I'm a lover of yoga. I really enjoy yoga and holistic wellness. And then, like, Shaida was already, like, that was her storyline. Yeah. You know, so, like, I think just depending on how the cast is and what their main drag is, it really does weigh on the others. And so I think they were like, oh, the most unique thing that no one else is doing on this cast is balloons. So we're going to lean into that and we're going to shoot that. And so that's, you know, that's how it ended up going. It doesn't mean that, like, you know, it doesn't make me a bad singer. It just ended up being that that's what stuck, I think, in the storyline. And I could be totally wrong. You know, somebody maybe, you know, at TLC wants to confirm or deny that, but that's my suspicion about how it all went down likely. Balloons are just something really weird and interesting. And so I think the music got lost in the background, which was fine. Like, I wasn't there necessarily to promote anything. I was just happy to be there and, you know, share a story. And it was such a fun experience. But now I feel like I really do get to just focus on the music, which I'm so excited about. It's kind of okay, I think, that that didn't happen in that moment, because I had no current music ready to go at that moment. That's not where I was in my life at that time. So I think all things happen in good time for a reason. And I'm just in a space now where I really can focus on the music, and I'm really happy to do it again.
I'm excited. I mean, you're right. You're now in a position where the world, not just the US, knows who you are. You know, you're streaming all over the world. You now have an audience. You have people that are watching what you do and listening. So you're right. This in due time, you know, this is a really good time to showcase to everyone. Because, you know, on the show, some people get mad. They're like, oh, well, they're just on the show to promote this, or they're just trying to increase their following. And it's like, it was nice to see you focus on the relationship. You weren't trying to sell anything extra. And I think that that was really good. I think a lot of times people will go on the show because they're a singer or a rapper, and then they'll make that their focus, and then that they want to use the show to, you know, increase their following, which there's nothing wrong with that. I think all press is good press, and you promote yourself the best way you know how. But I think it was nice that, you know, you kind of surprised everyone, because when I heard the music, I heard your voice, and I was just like, whoa, this is not what I'm used to. You know, the people throw that word around, you know, I'm a singer, I'm a musician. And I just thought, she's writing music, she's performing music. And I kind of want to talk a little bit about your performing around the world, because a lot of people don't know that. Like, people need to know that you've been all over the world performing night after night. And this isn't just a tiny minuscule hobby that you do every now and then. Like, this was your whole life for such a long time.
Yeah, I mean, if we want to go all the way back, I mean, I did my first ever singing competition where I actually won first. I only count the ones where I won first because the other ones don't count in my book. So the very first one I did where I won first place was when I was 6 years old. And so ever since then, I always did that same competition every single year. And I did every festival in my hometown. I sang national anthems at, like, Veterans Days, and I sang national anthems at football games locally. Like, it had just been in me for so long. And I did theater in high school, and then I did theater as an adult, local, like, community theater. And so when I started traveling, it was just such a natural thing. Like, I was in a space maybe that I didn't know, being in a new country, but singing was always familiar, and I could always figure out a way to kind of do that. And so, you know, what led me to, I did most of my singing, like, around the world. Most of it was in China. I did some in New Zealand before I left New Zealand for, like a Chinese New Year celebration. I sang in Chinese, and, you know, then I moved to China and I started studying there. And then I got a job working, for a series of clubs that are, like, all over China, and they have a singer at every club. And so I would work 7 days a week, and my contracts would be, like, 2 months long, and they would put me up in an apartment and pay for my travel and my food. And I would just sing every single day. And it was such a steep learning curve, because at that point I was in charge of, you know, lighting, sound, staging, costuming. Like, it was on the singer to produce the show that they felt fit them. And that's a lot of a lot of work when you don't have a lot of background in those areas. You know, if you do theater, you're the performer, you're the actor, but you're not the stagehand, you're not doing the lighting, right. Like you're not running the, you know, whatever. So that was a steep learning curve, and I learned a lot there. I used to say prior to having that job that I used to be like, oh, if I could just get paid to sing, I would be so happy. If like I could just make money singing, like I would be so happy. And, you know, I did it, and I did it for like 2 years traveling all around China. And at the end, when I was like burnout from it, I was like, oh, okay, so it's not that I just wanted to make money from music. Then I understood that I had a preference on like what exactly I was going to do within music to make the money. And that was a real turning point for me, as far as like how I looked at music professionally and how to make it a way to make money.
So when you're writing music and you're doing inspiration for writing music, like who do you listen to? Who are your inspiration artists that you want to model yourself after? Like, who do you feel like are good role models and inspiration for the music you want to put out?
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting because there's not a lot of white girls doing Latin music that have like a R&B background. You know, I think I'm coming from like a very hodgepodgey situation as from an artist standpoint. So I draw on like what I grew up on, like Destiny's Child for me, I lived and died by every single song they put out when I was a child. I wanted to emulate Beyonce and her runs, you know, like I just thought they were the coolest. And when Beyonce broke off and did her own thing and crushed it, because there was this stereotype of like, oh, groups never break up and like succeed. And she did it and she crushed it and she's still crushing it. And she's just so legendary. Her vocals, her harmonies, the arrangements of her songs are just like surreal to me that someone's brain can work that way. And beyond that, beyond the music, she pushed a performer. Like, yeah. I feel like the generation before me, it was like Michael Jackson. You know, Michael Jackson was like the end all be all performer. But like, I never saw him live. He was a little bit out of my age range for like going to concerts. But like Beyonce for me, she is a performer. You know, she's giving. So I would love to be able to emulate her, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm even on her level, honestly. But like, well, I do love her and I think she's amazing and I love her. But like from a Latin standpoint, I really like Natalia Lafourcade. She's a Mexican singer. I believe she's from Monterrey, Mexico. And she is just so grounded in her music. It's so like earthy. If earthy was a good adjective for music, it's so like soulful and earthy. And it's just the rhythms in her music like touch my soul. I feel like when I listen to her, I could cry. So I love that energy that she's bringing. Yeah, I don't know. I try to draw inspiration from a lot of different places. Music is so vast, you know, and emotion is so vast. So it's hard to, you know, one day you're drawing on like Beyonce and the next day you're drawing on freaking, I don't know, Taylor Swift or something. I'm not a huge fan of Taylor Swift. I know Swifties don't come for me, but like, you know, you wake up every day and you feel different, you know?
Well, yeah. Yeah. And you have to be very confident, right? Like I have this weird story when I don't remember what grade I was in, seventh or eighth grade. And Destiny's Child had a concert. I lived in Baton Rouge growing up, and they had a concert. It was like Destiny's Child, Jagged Edge, and one other R&B group, right? It was crazy. Yeah. And my sister came to pick me up from school, and she was like, they're doing a meet and greet at whatever music store. Do you remember music stores? There's like a right?
I do. She was like, there's like Planet Nine or something.
Yeah, I don't even remember what the store was now, but she picked me up from school, and we went there and Destiny's Child was at one table and Jagged Edge was at one table and nobody was there, right? And I got to like talk to them like for like 20, 30 minutes, like Beyonce, like all of them. And it's like, it's hard to believe that Beyonce is who she is because she was so humble and kind and literally nobody showed up for this meet and greet. It was me, my sister, and like three other people, right? The whole time, because they were just sitting at the table and we literally just stood there and talked to them the whole time.
Until Wait, the meeting. That when there were still four members or three members?
There were still four. I think the single they had on the radio was Get on the Bus, was the single. So this was really early. And I think that was Why Do Fools Fall in Love, the movie. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't even think it was on their album. I think all they really had off the album was No, No, No and No, No, No Remix at that moment. Like they were super cute. But I was obsessed. Like, I wanted to marry Beyonce. So my sister, when she found out that you could meet her, all I had to do was buy the CD. She came and got me from school early. And it literally made my life. But I want you to always be as confident as possible, because look at how far Beyonce has come. Can you imagine if Beyonce said that she was going to do a meet and greet anywhere? Oh, she would shut down the entire world.
The country. Right? Are you kidding? Yeah.
So I always think of that. So when I see artists, they're like, oh, I'm struggling. It's so, it can be discouraging. And I'm like, don't give up, because, oh my God, look at how far they came. It's like people weren't there. And it's like, can you imagine Beyonce doing anything and nobody was there? It was just crazy to me.
Well, yeah, and I always tell my team, you know, my PR team and my team that works with me to help promote my music and all this other stuff, I always remind them, I say, hey, guys, this is a marathon, not a race, you know? So if we, you know, don't book this gig or don't get that thing, like, it's not the end of the world, because, like, it's just one small thing in the vast array of what it's going to take to really make it long term. And so, like, you don't pop off by just, like, doing one song. Like, for example, Tyla just popped off with Water. That song had been out for years before it got popular. She didn't just like come onto the market, release the song and blow the fuck up. Like, it literally took years for that song to come to light, you know? And now she's like reaping all the benefits. So it's like, you do the hard work and you put in the time knowing that eventually it'll all pay off in time, but it's definitely not a fast overnight situation. And typically when it is, those artists don't last very long because they weren't prepared.
You're right. That's one thing I hate about the new generation of music. It's like they don't have the longevity that we had of the artists when we were growing up, you know? Like,
well, making music is so different now.
Well, yeah, it's like they can record a song in their basement and it can be on Apple Music tomorrow, right? There's yeah. No creative side to it. They just put the music out, and we lost the visual aspect. Like, I love that Beyonce still does visual albums, right? Because I feel like the visual aspect is so important in music.
I love that she's been putting the work into, like her albums are a story. Albums used to be stories from start to finish, not just like a collection of songs that people thought were going to be popular. It was like, no, I'm going to hit this tone, then I'm going to go into this tone, then we're going to wrap up the album on this note. And like, here's the visuals that go along with it. And it was like telling a story. It's like writing a book. And then it became, you know, albums are just a collection of things that people hope pop off and have good sound consistently. And then now it's even like singles, you know, which is what I'm doing, because I'm not in a place where I can do an entire album right now. So we're just doing single by single, but we're trying to be very regular about when we release music. But yeah, it's just shifted. And so when someone's in their basement and recording a song and it pops off, because it could be a great song that does have some creativity, yeah, but the infrastructure of their business is not there, you know, like you need a studio to record regular music at a quality level for, you know, a long period of time, you know, yeah, and you want good engineers and you want mastering and mixing to be well. And, you know, there's just all these things. So when someone pops off without all of that there, you know, it can quickly fizzle.
Right. And that happens so much in our...
I'm trying not to do that. That's what I'm trying not to do.
Well, so I was going to ask you, what are you are going to do visually? Like, do you want to do anything visually for your singles? Or is that something that you've been thinking about? Because I know you're very creative, right? I know that you put on stage shows at a very young age. So I was thinking, like, if you were to release a video or a visual for a song, you know, how would you go about doing that? And what would you want to portray? What would you want people to see?
I think, you know, on my own, we did a visual that matched the song. So it was called On My Own, and it was like a breakup song, and Guillermo played my partner that was breaking up, and it was all really fun and stuff like that. I think you just have to, making music is not cheap, right? And it has very little return, actually. So you're basically just pouring money into this thing that until it pops off doesn't actually return very much money, which when it's your craft and what you love to do, it feels okay, you know? But music videos alone are fairly costly depending on the level that you want to portray. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, if I can record a song and then go perform it and use that performance footage as the visual, right now that's where I'm at, because it's efficient and it gets people, me performing in front of people visually, and it sends the message that like I'm not in a basement without venues to perform at. Like, I am a true performer and I'm an artist and I go out in the world and I book venues and I do music. Like, I think it helps give an overall complete picture of a performer, not just someone who's dabbling. So right now, that's kind of my strategy. When the budget increases and we can have like amazing videography and like storytelling, I would love to be able to do that because I come from a theater background. I love acting. I love singing. Like, I want the costumes. I want the crazy makeup. I want to give like rah, 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 Lady Gaga shit. But, you know, those things cost money and you can't do them and execute them well enough on like a small budget. So I'd rather not try. Like, I want to do it, like, do it when I do it. So I'm just going to hold off on, like, the crazy visuals for a little bit. I do think there are ways that you can go about creating really visually interesting music videos without, like, breaking the budget. And so we're working on it. We're working on those things. We want to, like, test out and see what works best. And, like, people locally, you know, I'm based in Charlottesville. So I try to use local people who I can obtain easily and work with face-to-face sometimes if I need to. again, it keeps the cost low and supports the local artists around. So that's kind of what I try to do. But, yeah, we just take it each one by each one. And each song has a different vibe. And so I don't know that there's always a consistent visual that I'm going for. More so, I just want the music video to match the vibe of the song.
Yeah. So there was a time, like, in your life where you were performing all over the world, and then you kind of slowed down, you started dating. And first of all, I have to ask one quick question. How many languages do you speak? Because you mentioned earlier that you were listening to artists who sings in Spanish, and then you also told me that you were singing in Chinese. How many languages can you speak?
Yeah, so I'm obviously a native English speaker from Virginia. My second language that I learned was Spanish, and that was just from having friends growing up, and I always were at their house, like watching, you know, shows in Spanish and listening to music in Spanish. And then when I started traveling, I went to university in China to study Chinese language and culture. And so not only did I work there as a singer, but I was also studying at a university there. Tainan Dashui, woo-woo, my alma mater. and so that's where I learned Chinese. Not only was I learning it in school, but I was living there. So it's like immersion on all sides. Like, I was learning the grammar and how to write it, but I was also living it and going to the grocery store and ordering at restaurants and really immersing myself. So I think three, I don't know what my max is, but I always think like, oh, if I could learn another language, like, would I? But I think truly my brain is maxed out at three. And what I notice is when I'm, like, for example, I was like, oh, I speak English and Spanish. And I moved to China, started learning Chinese. And immediately my Spanish, it felt like went out the window. And I was like, wait, how do I say like water again? Like, I just like couldn't compute. And then as soon as I came back from China and I started speaking more Spanish here in the States, I felt like my Chinese went out of the window. So I can't imagine trying to add like a fourth in there. I don't know how that would work, but it's hard enough to try to like keep up the Chinese so I don't forget it all and then not lose the Spanish either.
That's so interesting. It's crazy because we watched you on the show and, you know, they don't portray you as the smartest, most talented, creative person. And I kind of hate that because a lot of times we watch these people on the show and, you know, they want you to think, oh, this person is ditzy or this person is, you know, they try to make like a persona for you. And I kind of hate that because since I've been doing the podcast, I've gotten to know a lot of people from this show, lots of different shows. And they're never anything like that persona, right? Like sometimes they portray, like they want Angela to be this angry, mean lady. But like meeting her or talking to her or dealing with her, she's not angry or mean. You know, and it's like, it's really difficult, you know, when they portray you a certain way, because that sticks, you know, people think that that's who you really are. So hearing you're trilingual, you do so many different things. It's just, it's hard to believe that they left so much out, right? There's so many layers to you, right?
I think it goes back to like, you know, you only have an hour show, you have multiple couples, like what is the most interesting, like not maybe interesting, but what is like the little snippets that we're going to put together to build out the show that we want. And so I think that it all goes back to that. And like, it's not network's fault for like wanting to put a show together that's interesting and has dynamic couples and like has ups and downs and is punchy. You know, I think it all goes into what they're trying to do. But yeah, it's unfortunate. I think that, you know, we're whole people and we're really diverse and have a lot of different things going on. And so you just get a little snippet and it's interesting because that's what the world knows about you. When someone Googles you, not that's all they're going to see. So it's kind of like a mind fuck to be like, oh, I know that I am this person and I do these things and I am capable or whatever. And then you like go onto your social media or the internet and then it's like, balloon girl. I'm like, yeah.
Right.
Someone said to me once, I'm not a balloon girl. I'm just a lot of other things too.
Well, someone said to me once, they were like, the world knows me based on 3 hours of footage. And it really sunk in. I was like, oh my gosh, your whole, like, Wikipedia, you Google, everything is based on 3 hours of your whole life. Like, all of the things that you've accomplished, all the things you can do. You speak 3 languages, you know? And then the world is linking you to 3 measly hours of footage out of your life. And it's like, we got less than 0.1% of who you are as a person, and then the world is drawing conclusions from that, and it's just wild to me.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. I think it's the times we live in. It's the industry that I took part in and take part in, and I think people come out of it one of two ways. I think they come out jaded and pissed off and angry that, you know, that that's what it was and is, but maybe because I come from like a performance background and like, it is the nature of the beast, you know?
Yeah. I think it helps that you're accustomed to the business in the industry. You've done it since you were young and you know, it's not fair. It's not an accurate representation. So you kind of knew what you were getting into. I think a lot of times people get into reality TV, they don't know what they're getting into. And that those are the ones that are angry.
But it's not a documentary. Like, let's be clear. Reality television is not a documentary. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not meant to be, like, exactly accurate on all accounts. You know, it's meant to be entertaining and it's meant to be based in reality, which it is. So I happen to really like reality TV. I like being a part of reality TV. I think it's super interesting and fun. But other people, you know, who are like, I want to feel validated about who I am by this experience. Like, that's not probably going to happen for you.
There was a time where music took a back seat. So I want to talk about what went on then, because obviously music is back in the forefront. You know, it's something that's very important. But, you know, there was some time where, you know, when you were meeting Guillermo, your relationship, and, you know, music wasn't there. So what shifted? I know you were saying that you were touring in China and it was a lot of work. So did you feel worn out or did you need a break? Like, how did the shift go from music in the forefront to the background now to the forefront again? Like, what took place in that time?
Well, you know, I started when I was very young, 6, singing and performing and taking part in all kinds of different performances. And I just remember, fun fact, I'm going to like myth buster, like just let some people know some things. I get a comment, like every third comment on my music, which I'm so grateful for. They're like, you should do American Idol. You should try out for American Idol.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the story. I tried out twice for American Idol, once in Louisville, Kentucky, and once in Orlando, Florida. And I did not get past the preliminary like stadium judging portion when you sing for the producers of the show, which a lot of people don't know exists, but there's a whole stadium full of people that they pick and choose who actually goes. It's several rounds of singing before they take the final people who's going to go sing in front of the judges. And I did that twice, once when I was 15, once when I was 16. And both times they were like, oh, we've already met our quota for underage singers for this year, for the season. And I'm
so
like,
it was an age thing. You were good, but they didn't want to have like a bunch of 16-year-olds. So,
well, it's a liability. They have to provide a certain amount of schooling while they're filming, and they have to provide a certain amount, you know, of like, they can only work film for so many hours a day.
Right.
Because they're minors. So like, they have to cap it off just from like a financial and production standpoint, I believe. Anyway, so I was jaded after I got turned down twice. And by the time I turned 18, I was just like, it's not going to happen for me. Like, I'm just not, it's just not in the cards, which, you know, me looking back at a 32-year-old now, it's laughable, you know, because I was just that girl watching like Disney Channel. I was like, oh, I'm going to be like on a Disney Channel movie by the time I'm 18. And when that didn't happen when I was 18, I was like, okay, it's done. I need to go to university. I need to be a dentist. Like, I went to university to study biology to eventually become a dentist. Think about that.
Really?
Yeah. And I dropped out of school very quickly because I realized that, you know, I still in my heart of hearts was a performer, but I basically was kind of bitter. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll just do regular life. Like, I'll just be a regular person and do regular things and do regular life. And so I did that for a little bit. And then I started traveling because my heart wasn't like happy just being regular, you know, doing the regular stuff. And so I just started, you know, gallivanting all around. And then I got the opportunity in New Zealand to start dancing on a competitive Latin dance team. And then my choreographer from that team was a musician, and he was like, he was Chinese. And he said, have you ever thought about going to China to sing? Like, they would love you there. Like, you're American, you have this bright red hair, you have freckles, like, they would love you. And I was like, really? And he was like, yeah, of course. So he actually helped me get my student visa into China with the end goal of becoming a singer. So that's when resurgence happened as for me being a singer. So then I did that for 2.5 years or so, two and a half years. And then it just honestly, truthfully, and this is like the inspiration for my next song that's actually coming out. When you work in clubs and you like to party, the line really becomes blurry about alcohol and the consumption. And you're like, do I consume alcohol because I'm in this space 7 days a week and I have no friends in the city and I don't have anywhere to go other than my hotel room and the club? Or am I like having an issue with alcohol, you know? And so for me, it was a combination of all of those things. It was, am I an alcoholic? Am I just drinking alcohol because it's around me? Like I was trying to figure that out. I had no friends for like basically 2 years other than the people that I worked with in the club. And so I was lonely and in a hotel room and partying every night. And I was just like, if this is fun and it's all glitz and glam and cool and it like on the surface looks really fun, but like this is not what I meant by like being a professional singer. And so I told my mom, I was just like, I think I need to come home and just like take a break and like recalibrate and figure out like what does singing look like for me? What does life look like for me? So I came home in early 2018, and I just got a job in my city again. And then I had the opportunity to move to Dominican Republic for a job that I took. And that's obviously where I met Guillermo. So I was just coming off this like recalibration of what music meant to me and what life looked like and what, you know, what was really going on. And then I met Guillermo, and then the rest is on TLC.
But you didn't really take that much of a break, because it was 2018 when you got back. And, you know, you did take a little time to breathe. So, and it's interesting. It's interesting because you said you wanted to just be normal. And it's funny because you're not normal. You know, you stand out. You know, you definitely stand out. Your voice, your appearance, you don't look normal. So it doesn't surprise me that your dance teacher was like, you should be doing something else. You know, you definitely have the look of someone who could be a star, you know. And it's really interesting that you became one. Just in a different avenue. And a lot of times
it's so bizarre. It's so bizarre. Me and my family, my friends, we laugh about it all the time. It's like, oh, wow, you ended up like sort of like, I call it a D-list celebrity. I'm like, oh, you ended up like a D-list celebrity, but having nothing to do with your singing, which was like, nobody would have bet money on that. No one, you know, like everyone's like, oh, if Carrie gets famous, it's going to be for singing, you know? So it's just so funny. And, you know, I guess sometimes I just have these moments of reprieve where I'm like, oh, maybe I just should be normal. Maybe the universe is telling me to just be normal because I like haven't made it yet, you know? And then there's always someone in my life who is like, no, bitch, you are special. Like, you get up there and you fucking sing, okay? Like, it was my dance teacher back in the day. And then this last resurgence after giving birth, it was like literally my business partner and my really good friend. And she was like, listen, I've been looking to get into something like more creative. She's a corporate girly. So she's just like, you know, straight edge during the day. And she's like, I think we could really make something out of you. We need to put the work in. She's like, I'm going to back you. We're going to make sure. She's like my type A cohort to like all the things that I do music related. And so she just was like, we're not going to let your life go down like this. And I was like, okay. It's so nice to have people around you like believe in you when you don't believe in yourself sometimes, because everybody has those days and times, you know.
It's so easy, you know, to get discouraged, right? Like, I know that. I remember when I started my podcast, like for the first 6 months, nobody watched it, nobody cared, you know, and it was really discouraging and I wanted to give up. And like you said, I had people around me, they're like, just stick with it, you know, it's not going to happen overnight, you have to keep working. And then I remember the first time I charted in like 3 or 4 countries at once, I was like about to cry, because I was like, oh my God, I didn't want to do this anymore. It was all this work. I was putting more money in it than I was getting back. And it's just like, those people around you are so important. Your support team, people who encourage you to keep going, because it's like, we really want to give up sometimes. And it's like, you it's kind of reminds me of Jennifer Lopez, right? Like, nobody knew she could sing. She was this really good actress, and then she became famous for that, and then she started singing. And it's like, when you're a star, you're just a star, right? You know, like, people are going to notice you. They're going to see that the potential in you. And it doesn't really, because a lot of these Disney stars, like, remember Ariana Grande? She was on Victorious, you know, and she sang on it. I didn't think she was all that, right? And then she left that show and she became one of the biggest stars in the world for her voice.
I mean, let's talk about vocals. I mean, that girl can sing, period. And she does most of her production, like, in the studio. Like, she's out there manipulating the beat and putting together the vocals and, like, mixing. And it's like, she is a genius. You know, they can say what they want, whoever doesn't like Ariana Grande, but she's incredible.
Yeah, she's, it's just crazy, though, because so many people have gone in your path where they became famous for one thing, and then they drop the bomb on people and say, oh, I can sing, by the way. I was watching The Masked Singer, and one of the people from the Ginny in Georgia show, it was, I think, the mayor, he was on the show, and he sounded amazing. And I was like, this is so crazy, because he's been acting all these years. You would never even know, you know?
Like Zendaya, she had a pop-off for a second as a singer. And then, like, she's this amazing, I mean, let's just call her a model because she's stunningly beautiful, but she's, like, this model and an amazing actress, but she can actually sing. And she's like, yeah, music wasn't really, like, where it was for me at this level. She was like, so I just prefer to do that, but so talented. Anne Hathaway, there was just this video when she was on the Kelly Clarkson show singing Since You've Been Gone, equally as good as Kelly Clarkson.
Right? It's like, sometimes I get mad at God a little bit because I'm like, so you just give them everything? So they're beautiful, they're smart, they're creative, they can sing. Like, what about everybody else, right? Like, what do we get? Like, it's crazy how...
Everybody has something special about themselves. They just gotta find
They do. They do. You're 100% right. So what about more reality TV? Like, say, for instance, hypothetically, a production company comes to you and says, we want to follow you, your life, your family, and your music. Would you be open to something like that? Or do you think that it's too invasive? You know, because now you have a baby. You have a baby to think about. So, like, how do you feel about
that? For sure. I just think that, you know, I ripped the Band-Aid off already with 90 Day. It's, like, a very large reality show in America and around the world. And so I feel like I was built for this in some kind of way. You know, like, I am not scared of television. I'm not like, you know, for me, it's a work avenue. I don't think about it as like a pop-off, or I don't think about it as like a one-time thing. For me, it's like, oh, this is somebody's work and that's what they do. I'm totally open. I want someone to follow my music career. That'd be so fun. And like, I always think about how when I'm like 80 years old and I look back, like on my wedding, for example, like I didn't have to have a videographer because I got top tier video quality from making the show. And I have that forever. You know, I have that to show my kids. We can just hop on YouTube and find it forever. Obviously, when you have a child, you got to be a little more cautious about what you expose them to. You know, do I think my son would have some like main character role? Likely not, you know, but can he be floating around in the background? You know, like the Kardashians do with their kids? Yeah, sure. You know, I don't think that's harmful. But yeah, I'd totally be down. I love creating. I love being creative and I love the process and I love the cameras and I love the people on set and I love, you know, I love it all. I love the makeup and the hair. So it just feels natural for me. I know some people are like very anti-reality TV. And before I did the show, I was like, do I want to do this? Is this okay? You know, but I was like, yeah, no, it'll be fine. I think you miss every shot you don't take, you know, and you're like, okay, so maybe I'm going to do reality TV and it's going to totally flop. I'm going to hate how I'm portrayed and it's going to be, you know, shit and I'm going to hate it. And like, okay, so you did it and now you know and you can move on. And like, I did it and I don't hate it. And I think it's really fun, actually. So I'm down. I'm down for whatever.
I would totally watch it. The first thing that came to my mind was like Newlyweds with Nick and Jessica, right? Like, I feel like
oh my God, they were both that's a good performers, throwback.
Right? They were both performers. They were newlyweds. Does Guillermo sing at all? What's his hidden talent? I feel like he probably has a hidden talent we don't know about.
No, you know, Guillermo is so funny. He does not sing. He dabbles in dance. Another thing that happens on the internet is people assume that I learned how to dance like salsa, merengue, bachata from Guillermo. Guillermo doesn't actually dance at all like that. I learned that like well prior to meeting Guillermo, which is so funny. Because they're like, oh, he taught you to dance. Like, no, I taught him to dance. So yeah, he's not really into like the arts. He loves water sports. And I don't know if that's considered a talent, but he has a knack for being able to like control his body. Like he can hop on a board, like in a wave, like in the ocean and totally surf it. Like no problem. He can do skateboards. He can do like snowboarding. He had never touched snow before he came to the United States. He hopped on a snowboard one time and was like shredding.
Oh, that's definitely it.
Yeah, his body control is like uncannily good just to have no experience in it. You know, like my body doesn't do good going sideways that way. I'm more like a skier. I'm more like front facing. He can do anything to the side. He also loves kayaking. I have friends that kayak. I don't, but locally here, I have friends that kayak and they've like adopted him into the kayaking here locally. And they were just like, oh my God, he's so good. He's so good. And he has zero experience. And I'm like,
people who do all of those things professionally. See, that's my thing. That's why I thought Nick and Jessica, the newlyweds, so people can learn about the talents that you both have, you know, and I feel like that would be a really cool reality show to watch just to kind of follow your relationship. Cause I feel like you guys are kind of private, right? Like we don't know a lot about your relationship. Like, you know how we know some people are fighting, like, some people, it's everywhere, right? We don't hear about stuff. And I think that that's good on your part, but it's bad for us because we don't have anything to talk about. You know, like,
there is drama. There's drama that goes down. And, you know, I'm spicy. I got a quick tongue. And so I'm sure there's things that would pop up on the internet. But and sometimes I'm grateful that they're not on the internet. I'm like, whew, thank God cameras weren't around for that. But, you know, no relationship is perfect. So we definitely have our stuff. So I think, It's just how it all goes. You know, it's just how it all lines up with the network and what storylines and how, you know.
So
Guillermo was like really private on his IG anyways.
Right. Like he is not all about the social media. And I think it's good. Like a lot of people, they just live in the moment and you know, that's good. I do prisoner. I'm a prisoner to my phone. You know, I don't know how to live in the moment. Like I'll go somewhere and the first thing I'll do is pull out my phone and start filming something. And I've had people tell me, like, put your phone down. Like, just live in the moment. I don't know how, right? And I envy people like Guillermo. He knows how to be in the moment and enjoy what's in front of you. You know, because a lot of people say, you live your life through your phone screen. Because I'm like, at a concert, but I'm filming. So I'm watching the concert through my phone. Or I'm watching. So I definitely envy people who know how to just be in the moment.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of actually 90 Day Husbands from my season that are actually very like internet adverse. So like Patrick, for example, Thais is like, oh my God, Patrick never posts. He never wants to post. He has no interest in having social media. And I'm like, yeah, Guillermo either. I think Kobe also, he does a little bit more than Guillermo and maybe Patrick, but like Kobe is not huge into posting either. And I think, I don't know, it's just like a husband like thing. They're like, oh, well, like let the girls handle it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably that, because let's be honest, girls are way more better at social media. The first influencer was a woman, okay? Like, women know exactly what they're doing when it comes to social media and content. Men, whatever we know, we learn from a woman. My favorite podcaster is a woman, Sarah Fraser. Like, you know, whatever I know.
Right?
Like, so women are amazing inspiration and teachers. You know, I was raised by a single mom and my sister, so the female energy is so strong and inspiring. Yeah. And it's steadfast, right? Like the strength in women, it's just really encouraging to see the things that y'all can go through. Like I've seen children being born. Ooh. Good God, right? Like women are just so strong. They're the backbone of the world. So I just think it's so important to learn from the strength that women have.
Agreed, yeah. Women are just really incredible. And I think, yeah, social media has just been such a little like petri dish of like wonderful things that women are capable of, especially like aesthetically, presentation. Like women are very conscious of those things typically, and so it just breeds influencers truly.
Right. Okay, one last question. Sure. Do you have, and this can be anything, reality TV, life, singing, relationships, any regrets? Like was there a situation that you wish you would have made a different decision? You wish you would have chosen a different path? Like I learned today that you were going to be a dentist, and I'm going to go ahead and say You don't regret that, but like, is there anything that you wish that you would have chosen in a different angle?
I mean, the dentistry thing, sometimes I, you know, all my jobs are more or less commission based or not regular, right? So whether it's television or real estate or singing, like those are not like every 2 weeks getting a paycheck kind of jobs. And like, I've come to terms with the fact that like, the things that I like to do just don't align with a paycheck every 2 weeks. And that's fine. You know, like I've come to terms with that. But there are times when I'm like, damn, if I was a dentist, I'd be having regular money, you know. But no, I don't regret it. You know, I honestly am. This might sound very kind of cliche, but I do truly believe that every single moment is like a chain of events that leads you to where you're meant to be. And like in those moments when they're stressful or sad or depressing, or you feel at your absolute lowest, they are there to teach you something. And so that you can bounce back even better and higher and stronger. And so that, you know, like you can't have light without the dark, you know what I mean? And so I don't live in regret. I think living in regret is like a very fast way to feel unhappy in your current life, you know, thinking like shoulda, coulda, woulda, and carrying around the weight of regret, I think can be very heavy. And so I think this is just my opinion. I'm not a psychologist, but this is how I operate my life. You know, when things are hard and tough, I try to be present. I try to feel it. And then I try to let it go, because every day, every moment, every second is a new opportunity to do the things that make you feel good, you know? So like, I never give up hope. I'm always very chipper. Some people are like, you're so positive. How? And I'm like, because I don't linger on things. What's in the past is like yesterday or in the past, and what's coming isn't what's coming. And you can't worry about that either, but you just have right now, you know? And so I try not to have regrets. I don't think I actually do, even like the stupid shit that I've done in life, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. But I'm like, oh, it probably wasn't the best decision. You know, it all led me to where I am and taught me something. And so I just love life.
I love that. I love that answer. So You Don't Know Me is your current single. Everybody, I absolutely love it. The lyrics are amazing. Like, I'm obsessed. Everybody, if you haven't streamed it, please, please, please go and stream it. It's called You Don't Know Me. I post it on my story all the time, guys. It's like the background music that I've been using lately, because it's just so relatable. And I heard you say that a new single is coming. Really?
Yeah.
Can you tell us anything at all? Anything at all?
Well, I am drawing on previous experience with how I was feeling kind of in those darker moments in China, like when I was coming towards the end of my career and I was struggling maybe with like, am I having an issue with alcohol? Like, is it just like a product of my surroundings? Like, am I making the right choices? Is this what I meant when I wanted to make money from singing? You know, that kind of like, like I kind of have half of what I was asking for, but I have all these other parts too that I wasn't sure I was really asking for. So it's just kind of a more serious tone, on that song. And it does still have a Latin through line. I've been toying around with how to like speak about the music that I'm doing right now. And it's like, it's Latin for sure, because that's had such an impact on my life and it resonates with me, but like, it's not always Latin, like on the nose. So I'm calling it Latin fusion, because sometimes it's like Latin pop fusion. Sometimes it's like Latin R&B fusion. Sometimes it's straight up like reggaeton or bachata. So I just want to call it Latin fusion, I think, is where I'm going with it. But yeah, this one is a little more Latin on the nose and like a little more somber, a little more serious. I want to try to be dynamic with my music. I want to give people like a song they can jam to, a song they can cry to, a song they can like make love to or something, you know, like a range of experience or a range of emotions is what I'm kind of going for. So yeah, this one's going to be a little more somber, a little more serious, touching on like a serious subject that, you know, I've kind of lived through and gone held, you know, myself. And so, yeah, I'm excited to work on it. We're in the studio now. We're getting through the nitty gritty of the recording process. So I'm excited.
I'm excited to hear that. Like I said, I heard you singing a ballad first, and that's where you got me. I was just like, whoa, you know, I love You Don't Know Me. You know, it's sure. Pop. It's so pop. It's so catchy. It's the music of today. I absolutely love it. But you singing a ballad, just raw vocal, I think is what people really will understand your voice and talent, because it's just so real. Like when I heard you singing, I don't remember what the video was you posted. I was just like, I had to watch it over and over.
You know, it might have been a cover of Love by Keisha Cole.
Yes, that's what it was.
Yeah.
It's just your voice. It's built for raw ballads and emotion. You know, you just embodied that song. You took those lyrics And you, it was just crazy. And I was like, wow, this voice is just, wow. It's crazy to know that I thought I knew you, like we were talking about. I thought I knew you from the show. I thought I knew everything about you.
Well, that's the point of my this latest track is you don't know me. Like, you don't know me. Because so many people just saw this, like, little snippet. And it was like, wow, people really don't know me at all. But yet want to comment on my things, you know? So it was just this. It came from a real place, you don't know me. It may not have that much depth, but it does come from a real place.
Oh, no, definitely. As a reality star, I know that you wrote that from personal experience. The lyrics, I could just tell, like, this was real, you know? You having to explain who you are to people over and over and over, it just resonates, you know? Because people, like, they don't. They don't know you. They don't know your past. They don't know your talent. People don't know you can speak three languages, right? Like, people want to say that you blow up balloons all day. You know, and it's like, yeah. You just have to keep saying, you don't know me, you don't know anything about me. You could learn about me, you know, if you like, but you would have to take the time to do that. But
That's why I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show, because it gives me a little bit more space to actually talk and be myself and talk about, you know, the things that I'm passionate about and the things I like to do. So I'm just so grateful that you've given me this platform to just be myself.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. You're welcome to anytime. Thank you so much. I've had amazing time talking to you and just and getting to know you. I think that there's so much depth to you, right? It's interesting because, like I said, they portrayed you a certain way, and you know, you talk to a person and you just learn all these different layers. A beautiful, talented, intelligent, layered individual, right? And it's a breath of fresh air, right? To talk to someone who just has so much depth and knowledge and creativity. And I'm just really excited for your music. And maybe one day I get to see you perform. I'm in Orlando. So if you're on tour.
Okay. Well, how far is Orlando from Miami? There's a lot of great Latin things happening down in Miami. So I think it's going to be on my timeline eventually.
Three hours and 15 minutes from Miami.
That close? Uh-oh. Well, we'll have to sort it out. Maybe we can meet midway, at least for a coffee or something.
I would love to see you perform live in person. I'm a live
performer. I will definitely let you know whenever I'm in Florida.
Please do. All right, guys. Make sure you're following Carliana. I'm going to tag her in this video. And I'm also going to put links to where you can listen to You Don't Know Me and her other music in this video. Thank you so much once again for being here. I've had an amazing time talking to you. And like I said, you're welcome here anytime. Thank you for being here. Everyone, thank you for watching and streaming. I love you guys. The George Masi Show interview series. Everybody have a wonderful day. And I can't wait to talk to you soon.
Bye.